A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
From the shining cloud the Father's voice is heard. This is my beloved Son, hear him.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them, and from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
So when I was in high school, I used to love to play basketball. It's my favorite sport. And I played so much, I started to get pretty good at it. Well, one summer, I was practicing with the team, and we started lifting weights. It was the first time in my life I'd ever lifted weights, and I discovered that my shoulder did not like lifting weights. I'd be doing the bench press, and something would kind of pop in my shoulder, and I didn't know what in the world it was. So my mom brought me to the doctor, and the diagnosis was given as tendonitis. And the doctor said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, You're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right? And he was actually a foreigner, so he had this very thick accent. And I remember when he told me that, I was mad at that guy. I was like, well, what does this guy know? You know? They've been telling me my whole life in school, you can do anything you put your mind to. You can be anything you want. Just try and you'll be able to do that. And so, right, if I push myself hard enough, I can be Arnold Schwarzenegger. How dare this doctor try to discourage me, right, and shatter my dreams? Well, fast forward a few years, I'm still working with the basketball team, and my goal at that point was I'm going to dunk a 10-foot goal. And so, again, if I just push myself hard enough, I'll be able to do it. I can jump as high as Michael Jordan if I push myself hard enough. So at the time, I was training with 20-pound ankle weights. And one day, I'm taking my shower, and I look down at my abdomen, and I'm like, what the heck is this? It was bursted blood vessels all in my abdomen from, you know, overusing the ankle weights. And I could hear that doctor again, you're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I didn't want to accept those limitations. They told me I could do anything you put your mind to. Now, I know that the people who told me that when I was growing up were well-intentioned. They were trying to encourage me. They were trying to motivate me to push myself so that I could strive to be the best that I could possibly be. At the same time, they weren't telling me the full truth. No matter how hard I tried, no matter what exercises I would do, I would never be able to jump as high as Michael Jordan. And I certainly was never going to become Arnold Schwarzenegger. In the physical life, in regards to our bodies, there are these hard limits that we can only go so far. But, and this is an important but, that truth, that reality doesn't translate directly over into the spiritual life. So I'll explain what I mean. Sometimes a person comes to talk with me and they say, well, Father, I just have a weak faith. It's this idea like, you know, God is distributing out faith and he didn't bless me with a good faith. He just gave me this weak faith, and so that's just the way it is. Faith is always going to be weak. Just like you'll never be able to jump as high as Michael Jordan, right? I'll never have a strong faith. But thanks be to God, I'm here to tell you today that this isn't how faith works. Faith isn't some quality that we're either born with a strong faith and we have that for the whole of our lives, or we're born with a weak faith and there's nothing we can do. Faith, we say, is a virtue. In part, it's infused into us by God at baptism and confirmation. But as a virtue, it's also a good habit. It's something that we can build up, something that can grow within us. And this is true throughout the whole of our lives. Depending upon how we live, how we act, that virtue either grows within us or it begins to diminish. Take Abraham as an example. He's called by God in that first reading today to make a radical act, right? To leave his homeland, to go into this unknown place to which God is calling him. And the only thing he has to go on there is the promise that God gives him. I will make of you a great nation. So all he has is that word. He knew God through faith, right? The faith that he had learned throughout his lifetime, but he has to make this incredible act of trust that God's telling him the truth, that this is going to work out. That's why if we look at the letter to the Hebrews, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as his inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. St. Paul writes of Abraham in his letter to the Romans. He says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He did not doubt God's promise in unbelief. Rather, he was empowered by faith and gave glory to God. So Abraham for us is this great example of faith. Let's look at today's gospel. Now, right off the bat, we might think, well, you know, look at those sorts of stories. It's not fair. They got to see Jesus transfigured, right? Of course they would have strong faith. They had these personal experiences with Jesus himself. But who is an eyewitness to the transfiguration? Three people, right? Peter, James, and John, the only three people who got to see it. Nobody else got to see the transfiguration. Everyone else in history has only heard about the transfiguration, like all of us just did, as it's passed on by word of mouth. So for them, right, those who didn't see it, they too had to make an act of faith to believe what was being handed on to them. And so for us too, it's only by faith that we come to believe in Jesus. But this faith, my brothers and sisters, isn't this fixed quantity that we just, some of us have some of it, and some of us have like none of it. It's a virtue that in all of us can grow throughout the course of our lives. And so what I'd like to do in this homily is to talk about ways that we can help our faith to grow. St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you, it is from God. As such, the very first step to getting stronger faith is to ask God for the gift of faith. And by ask, I mean like really ask. Think of the parable of the widow and the judge, which is a beautiful parable to look at in regards to prayer. And what does the judge say in that parable? He says, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. That's the kind of asking that the Lord wants us to have in our prayer. To bug him, to bother him, right? To rattle heaven, right? With persistence in our prayer. So ask for the gift of faith, but do so with that attitude. Do so with persistence. Do so with energy, praying from the very depths of your heart. Lord, please give me a deeper faith. Next, we have to study our faith. Long gone, if it ever really existed, is a culture that just imparts the faith by osmosis, right? The world we live in today And it's not unprecedented throughout history, right? But the world we live in today is hostile to the faith. The world we live in today corrupts the faith. We have a Christian duty to increase our knowledge of our faith. Thanks be to God, we have a growing number of resources that are available to us that make us very easy. Right? All we have to do is pull it up on YouTube. There are some really phenomenal resources that are available to us to grow in our faith, but we still have to sacrifice the time. We still have to put forth the effort to take advantage of these resources. One of the scariest images, I think, in all of Scripture is in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." And then he goes on to say, and many are going to be shocked, right? They're going to say, "Oh, come on, Lord, you know me. Yeah, you know, my mom got me baptized, remember? I went to Mass at Christmas sometimes, and whenever I, really needed something, I really felt like I needed something, then I would pray. Yeah, you know me, Lord." But Jesus replies, "I never knew you. I never knew you." So we have to take ownership of our faith and work at it really hard if we want it to grow. Jesus expects us to work throughout the course of our lives to help our faith to grow. So a question to ask ourselves, do we do that? Do we really work to help our faith grow? Last, we have to reject anything that erodes away at our faith. And sadly, there is a lot out there in our culture now that can erode away at our faith. So we have to be extra vigilant in terms of what we're consuming. What is it that we watch on TV? What is it that we listen to on the radio? What are we looking at on the internet? All of those things affect us. So we really have to discern if we have accepted anything or anyone into our lives who has been damaging our faith. Sometimes we like to pretend like these things don't affect us because we don't want to give it up. "Oh, yeah, that doesn't really affect me. I can watch all that stuff. That doesn't really bother me all that much." The truth of the matter is we might be playing a dangerous game with evil. And if so, it's never a good idea to play with evil. May we truly be attentive then, right, to what are those things in our lives, right, that could be weakening our faith. And if we become aware of things like that, get rid of them. Right? We don't want those things. So as we receive our Lord in the Eucharist today, let's ask our Lord for that gift of an increase in faith. And again, there's no magic words. All you have to say is, "Lord, please deepen my faith. Lord, please increase my faith." And to ask him, "Lord, show me, are there any habits in my life? Are there any things in my life that are eroding away at my faith? Give me the courage, Lord, to get rid of those things." I'm pretty sure at this point in my life, I'm never going to dunk a 10-foot goal again. This is not going to happen. But I can certainly be a saint. And this is true, my brothers and sisters, for all of you. God has called you to holiness. God has called each one of you to be a saint. And because he has called you to this, it's possible with his grace. So may we all strive, right, with all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our souls, to become those saints that God has called us to be.